Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Special welcome to our worship guests and family who are here. It's nice to see you and to be able to share the good news of Jesus with you today. Today we gather around God's Word because in God's Word He talks to us and we get to respond to Him with our prayers, with our thanks, with our confessions, and then we receive His absolution. Another reason we dig deeply into God's Word is so that we know how to talk to Him. And so that we remember where and how God answers us when we talk to Him in prayer. This morning, Jesus' encouragement to all of us is to keep on praying and never give up. And we'll take a look at a parable He taught so we can understand our prayer relationship with God, what it is, what it isn't, so that we can grow not only as we pray for ourselves and for our families, but also for our brothers and sisters here at St. Mark's, and see prayer as an opportunity to reach out with the gospel too. There is a lot packed into worship this morning, and God bless you as we gather around His Word today. The order of worship that will follow is printed in the worship booklet for this morning, and our opening hymn is hymn 284, a hymn that reminds us of the privileges we have studying God's Word together, number 284. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Father has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, and set us free from all adversities, that under your protection we may serve you with true devotion and holy deeds. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson is recorded in Genesis chapter 32. It's a reminder that we have no relationship with God outside of his promises. God made a promise to Jacob that God would give his family the promised land and that God would bless him. Jacob demands that God be faithful to his promise. May he equip us with such boldness to wrestle with our God as we wrestle with him to keep his promises made to us in his word. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let go of me, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let go of you unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 121. It's on page 7. The choir will introduce the refrain, and then we'll sing the refrain with the choir, and then each time that it occurs in the psalm. Psalm 121. Second lesson is recorded in 1 John chapter 5. Here is that reminder that we have no relationship with God outside of his promises. Here his promise is this: Jesus loves you, lived for you, died for you. He kept God's promise to be your Savior God. In that confidence, approach him in prayer. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18. This is the lesson that the sermon is based on this morning. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us witness our faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, life from
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Please be seated. The hymn of the day for this morning is on pages 10 and 11 in the worship booklet. And again, the soloist will introduce the refrain. We will sing the refrains with the soloist, and the soloist will sing verse 2. It's the first song of Isaiah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and for always. Amen. My sermon for this morning is based on the gospel for today, where Jesus talks a whole lot about prayer. And have you ever needed a reason to pray? You know, it's as a child of God, you know it's something that you should do. You know it's something that you get to do. You know it's something that you want to do. But have you ever been a loss at something to pray for? Or maybe you have some issues with prayer. And you liken it to your experience in life where maybe you reached out for help and you got a kick in the head instead. Maybe you went looking for an answer for some help and someone told you off. Or maybe you went looking for help and the help was supposed to come and they told you it's coming, but then it never came. Or maybe you liken it to the way that you respond for someone's request for help. Because you know that there's some things you just can't do. Someone asks you for help and you want to, but it's just beyond you. And there's nothing you can do. Or maybe you didn't feel like helping. You didn't want to help. Or maybe you just didn't help. I had an interesting prayer experience on a mountaintop, no less. It was when we were at Mount Lassen with the 7th and 8th graders and drove the van all the way from here, all the way there, all over the park for 2 days, and then we get to the top of the mountain, and sure enough, the van overheats, and it starts gushing coolant. I've never had that happen before, but that's what was going on. So popped the hood, and a couple of the guys who were with our group, they knew what to do, so we did that, and so I'm sitting there staring at my van, and this person comes up to me, and she says, "Are you having car problems?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Well, so are we." And she said, "Can I pray for you and your van?" And I thought, okay. And so she goes and gets her friend. She said, "We got another one to pray for, because their car has been breaking down for the last couple of days too." And sure enough, she prays for my van and for me and for my group that we all get home safely. And I said, "Thank you." And then we marched up the mountain. And then when we got to the top, I said, "You know, have you guys heard about my new prayer sisters?" And I told the story, and then there they were. And so then other people from our group got to meet my new prayer sisters too, and then I told them the story. And then as we were walking down the mountain, somebody in the group said, "Have you ever wondered why we don't pray more often? God tells us in verses that you probably have memorized in Sunday school or in our day school, in our Lutheran elementary school, 'Call upon me in the day of trouble.'" I didn't. I was thinking, great, I got 5 people. I need to get back to Sacramento. Am I going to have to pay for this? Am I going to have to get a new van? What's going to happen? The last thing I thought of was asking God for help. Let's get to where Jesus talks about prayer in Luke chapter 18. He's using one of his best teaching tools. It's a parable. It's a very simple story to help us understand difficult or tricky Bible truths. And he uses a really neat picture to help us understand. There's this woman. She's helpless, especially in that society. She didn't have a lot of backing, not a lot of support. And so she goes looking for help. And you can just see the judge. "What do you want from me? Quit bothering me. Go away. Don't ever come back." Jesus said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God," so he could care less about the Old Testament laws to take care of her, "who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused." Then she goes back, and something has changed. And it's not this judge's cold, dead heart. He still could care less about her, but he finally changes his mind because she's driving him nuts. Jesus said in Luke, "For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.'" And right there, isn't that your beef with God too? That you go to him over and over and over again, and he doesn't do a thing for you. He sits up there like the fat cat that he is, you know, the fat cat judge, and he listens to you and, just go away. Wouldn't you love to march into his chambers and really tell him how it is? Tell him how you really feel about him and the way he refuses you, and the way that he gives you justice. Wouldn't that feel good? Isn't that really the first attitude that this parable exposes? You know, what a horrible attitude to have toward God. What a horrible thing to think. You can't wait to go into God's chambers and tell him off, and tell him what a bad judge he is, and what a horrible job he's doing listening to you and your prayers and answering your prayers. What about that whole idea of, you know what, that's it, I'm done. I'm done trusting. I'm done praying. I'm done listening. And I'm going to go figure things out for myself. You know, God is not that heartless judge who, quote, neither fears God nor cares about man. And for us to call him such, it's a horrible thing to even think, more or less to say, or even to talk about. It's a very personal attack on God, and it's a very destructive attack on God. Because you stop and think about what that is. You know, Satan is the one who is getting you to think that way in the first place. And then when you say, you know what, that's right. God is heartless. God does not care about me. God is not doing it right. All you're doing is you're reloading Satan's gun for him. And then you aim it right at your heart, right at your faith, and then you pull the trigger, and then you load it up for him again, and you give it right back to him. Over and over and over again, you're destroying your relationship with God. Or maybe you take a little less aggressive approach, and you just say, you know, I don't want to. I'm sick of it. I'm done. I'm done praying. I'm done trusting. Even though God calls you, tells you, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And instead we call him names, or we don't trust him. And then we shoot ourselves in the heart again with Satan's temptations, and then we wonder why our relationship with God stinks. And we start to blame God when maybe it's our own fault that our relationship with God stinks because of our attitude and our failure to trust him and our failure to be in the Word and our desire to jump on board with Satan and call God all kinds of names. It's not optional. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, Jesus said. And instead of hallowing his name, you trash his name. You doubt his name. You don't give his name the time of day. Rejoice always, Paul wrote. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. And he said to Timothy, I urge you, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. And we say, no, I'm not going to. I don't want to. I don't like you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to listen to you anymore. But does that make him any less of a judge? You know, if you show up in his courtroom with that kind of attitude and with that kind of stubborn refusal to pray to God, and to trust in his word, how is that going to go? I mean, it's Adam and Eve time, isn't it? Get out of my courtroom. Get out of my presence. A couple weeks ago, we had the rich man. And how did going to heaven with that kind of arrogance and disdain for the Lord, how'd that go for him? He was in torment in the fires of hell. It is not a small thing when we stubbornly refuse to pray to God. And to listen to him, and to call him all kinds of names, and to start assuming all kinds of things, and then to share and spread that kind of attitude too. What a beautiful contrast we have in our Savior Jesus, who does fear God. What a perfect contrast we have to our Heavenly Father, to this judge. Because your Heavenly Father does care about you. And it's not just go and pray like Jesus. Go and be more like Jesus. It's more than that. It's bigger than that. Jesus is our perfect substitute Savior who feared God so much that he came to this world to be your Savior and mine. And he feared God so much that every time he was called upon to pray to God, he did. And he didn't get all worked up with God. He didn't pull attitude with God. He didn't start calling God names. He didn't start saying, you know what, that's it. I don't trust your word anymore. I don't trust you. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Stop and think about some of the times that Jesus prayed and trusted in God. Right off the bat, we're going to get this in a couple weeks enter Lent. We're going to see Jesus out in the wilderness. And if there ever was a man who had reason to curse God, it was Jesus in the wilderness. But he fully trusted in God's promises. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. He listened to God first, and then he responded to all of Satan's attacks. Or very early in his ministry, the Pharisees, they were making his life miserable. And then you are true God, and you know how this is going to happen. And look at your disciples. You know, couldn't you have done better than these guys? But yet you care for them, and you teach them how to pray. You say, this is how you should pray. And you perfectly model prayer for them. And then you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and things are not good for you. And you know God's will, and you know how it's going to end. But you faithfully pray to God, and you say, God, I'm hurting. God, I'm struggling, but your will be done. Jesus is your perfect Savior. He lived a perfect life for you, and he is also your advocate who goes into God's courtroom, in to see the judge with you. And the judge knows exactly how your attitudes have been, and he knows exactly what you've done and how you have not prayed. But then he said, but I've done this for you. And then the judge says, okay. And then Jesus also holds up the innocent death that he died for you, and that he died for me. And then the judge says, okay, because the penalty for that sin has been paid for, he slams down the gavel and he says, not guilty. The confidence we have, Isaiah shares it with us, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God my Savior, for he clothed me with garments of salvation. So what does that mean? You have a perfect prayer record before God because you are clothed with Jesus' salvation. You have a perfect defense in God's courtroom someday. I'm sorry for my sins, and Jesus died for them all. He paid for them. That's the confidence Isaiah is talking about, and arrayed in a robe of his righteousness. And we sang about that in the song of Isaiah this morning, didn't we? Rejoicing in the salvation that Jesus won. Isaiah said, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my Savior. That's the Savior God that we have. That's the Savior God, that God himself, who cares for you, sent down to heaven to live and to die for you perfectly in every way. So whether you're struggling with prayer or with a prayer attitude or it's some other sin or guilt that you brought into God's house today, Jesus has taken care of it for you because he fears God and he lived a perfect life for you and God cares for you and God comforts you. You know, this is that classic from the lesser to the greater. You know, if this judge, who could care less about anyone or anything, if he still carried out justice for this person, isn't God, your heavenly Father, who cares for you, going to hear your prayers and answer you? And the answer is yes. So Jesus' encouragement to you is don't ever give up. Keep on praying. Because it's based on God's promise that he loves you and he's going to hear you. That's the confidence that John shared with us earlier, and Peter emphasizes here. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And you know that's so hard to buy into and to grab onto. You know, I was just talking with somebody about Amazon. Do you like Amazon shopping? How easy that is. You can get something in a couple hours now. You can get something in a day. You can get something in 2 days. All you have to do is click a button and it shows up. And then when God calls on us to have patience, that he's working on it, that he's on top of it, it's not always easy. So Jesus tells you, pray continually. Don't ever give up because God is working on your situation. And he's not going to answer you until the time is right. You know, it's not time for grandma to get better. And his answer might even be, it's not going to happen until she goes to heaven. Keep on praying and don't ever give up because God cares for you. It might not be time for a new job. It might not be time for things to settle down at home. It might not be time for God to give you some clarity with what you're struggling with. It might not be time for you to rejoice. It might still be time for you to mourn and to have sorrow in your life. Keep on praying and don't ever give up because God cares for you, and he's giving you justice, the very best justice. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. God cares for you, and he deals gently with you. He tells you over and over again in his word that he loves you, and that he forgives you, and that he is guiding you through life. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. So keep on praying. Keep on praying for your brothers and sisters here at St. Mark's, because they need you. And they have real burdens that they want to share with you, and that they need to share with you. Keep on praying for your family, whether they live at home or they're big and grown up, whether they're rejoicing or they're hurting, keep on praying for them. Keep on praying for yourself. That's okay. Because God cares for you. Remember my prayer sisters? You know, just think of how they witnessed to me. And I'm a pastor, and I'm supposed to be on top of these things, right? But look at how complete strangers encouraged me to keep on praying and never give up. You have the chance to do the same thing here and in the world with your friends, with your family, people who don't know Jesus. Here's what I'm struggling with, and here's how God is helping me. Yeah, but you still have that problem. I know, and this is how my God is helping me. Because my God takes me back to his word, and he talks to me. And then he teaches me how to pray. He teaches me what to pray for. And then I talk to him, and I pray for it. And then I go to his word for answers. Answers like, it's okay that I don't get what I want. It's okay that God gave me something better. It's even okay that God tells me no. And then I dig right back into his word, and I listen to him again. And then I pray to him, and then he takes me back to my word. You have so many opportunities to share your Savior Jesus, who fears God and cares for you. May God bless you with the encouragement today to keep on praying and never give up for two reasons. Jesus, your Savior, fears God, and God, your Heavenly Father, cares for you. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Respond to God's great love and mercy to us with our offerings. Please be seated as we collect them at this time. Thank you. In our prayer of the church this morning, we have been asked to remember Jason and Daniel Covey, whose unborn twin girls, Hope Amelia and Faith Bella, passed away on Friday, October 7th. We've also been asked to remember Aaron and Andrea Locklean as they are praying for a friend who is 4 months pregnant and has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and is scheduled for a surgery on October 19th. We also have many good things for which to thank our God. One of those is the altar committee, so we remember those faithful servants of Jesus who serve us every Sunday. So with those thoughts, our brothers and sisters in mind, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever hear, read, and receive your word in reverence and gratitude. Awaken our hearts to faith, that we may firmly trust your infinite mercy, which you lovingly revealed to us in the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Enable us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us confess our sinfulness and repent of our iniquity. Clothe us with your armor, that we may be strong in you and in the power of your might. Build us up that we may resist the treacherous wiles of Satan, the sly temptations of the world, and the stubborn weakness of our own flesh. Deliver us from the dominion of darkness and preserve us for the eternal kingdom of light in Christ our Lord. Protect us from all peril of storm or fire, from plague and famine, from war and discord, from luxury and ease. And although we have broken your commandments and deserve your punishment, grant that we may be warmed by your discipline and again walk in obedience to your will. Grant to us a spirit of prayer, that in faith we may boldly seek your blessing for all our needs. Bring you our supplications for our loved ones and our intercessions for all people. And finally, trust in your goodness to fulfill our joy in your answer for Jesus' sake. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Jason and Danielle and their entire family. We praise and thank you that your will was done and that in your wisdom you have taken out of this world their unborn daughters, Hope and Faith. We thank you for the very faithful and powerful witness they have been as they confess that although they are sad, they still have confidence in your promises and in your control. So please, dear Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit to comfort them and to build them up. We also ask that you would be with Aaron and Andrea Locklean's friend. News like this is very unsettling and very disturbing, and it is beyond our understanding how it could possibly work out for good. We ask that you would go with her, as with their friend, as she is scheduled for surgery. Bless those and guide those who will perform the surgery. And if it is your will, we ask that you would keep the baby healthy and that you would keep the baby safe and that the baby is delivered. Dear Heavenly Father, we also thank you for your servants. Servants who serve us, serve our church, and ultimately serve you. So we thank you for our altar committee. As they prepare the sanctuary for us every week, may we see your love for us in their love for us. Bless them with the good news of knowing that they served you, that they worshiped you, and that we value their service to us. In all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your one and only Son, who by his most bitter suffering and most glorious resurrection has given us the promise of the life that is now and that which is to come, life in our Savior Jesus. In his name we also join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand as we make our preparation to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
It is your Savior's true body and true blood to strengthen you and keep you in the true faith.
We ask a blessing upon the word of God that we have heard this morning and the meal that our Savior shared with us. We do so with the Song of Simeon on page 15. Please stand. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy forever.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We close with stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn 472. Please be seated. Good morning again. May the good news that Jesus, your Savior, cares for you, may that inspire you and prompt you to share what's heavy on your heart, to share your joys and victories with your Savior in the week ahead. There was one prayer that I did not include at the altar, but please remember our brother Bill Hatfield in your prayers. He recently had an ankle surgery, and it appears that some infection has come back, and so they are going to continue to treat that. So remember Bill, please, in your prayers. Also, there is a follow-up flyer for the Crossroads meeting that we're going to have on October 29th. This gives you a little more insight into some of the feedback that you can bring, the opinions that you can share. If you have a concern, if you have a, hey, we need to be doing this, October 29th is your opportunity to share that. So take a look at the flyer. Gary Norwood is going to be in the back helping you find the sign-up sheet. It's on some yellow paper. So do make sure that you stop at the sign-up sheet and let us know that you are coming so that we can plan for that and so that we can be ready to hear your input, your feedback into what should we change, what absolutely must not change, and what are some of those things that we should consider changing. So take a look at that. Also, there is Monday night church this Monday. Pastor Waterstrat is going to be doing the service. There was some miscommunication in the calendars, so if you have some Monday night friends, assure them that we are, yes, having church. Pastor will be there. Jory will be there. So Monday evening worship is on. I am not going to do Monday worship, as I'm going to be at pastor's conference and some synodical meetings next week. So if you need something, get in touch with Kathy, and then she can help you get the pastoral care you need, or get in touch with me. I doubt I would mind bowing out of a session or two to chat with you. So don't hesitate, please, to reach out for help in the week ahead. There is no public school confirmation this afternoon, as there is the installation down in Lodi. So we get to celebrate at 4 o'clock, if you can make it, at Christ Lutheran in Lodi. They are installing Pastor Josh Hansen. So we rejoice with them. And also, if you need some more to pray about, Pastor Losher from St. Andrew is announcing this morning that he has accepted the call to Bethany in Hustisford, Wisconsin. So your brothers and sisters at St. Andrew are going to need you and your prayers and their support. So remember them and also ask that God would bless Pastor Losher and his family as they transition. Those are the announcements I wanted to share. Are there any from the floor that I'm missing? No? Okay. Do feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out, and then I look forward to saying hi to you too one more time in the lobby.